this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hello, this is Sasha Adi, your host of the PCOS Challenge radio show. Today, our show is about advocating for yourself, why it's important for women, women with PCOS, women everywhere, to advocate for themselves, advocate for their health. Our guest is Sonia Sackfate. She's the CEO and founder of Open Source Health, the first integrated personalized online health platform for women. Sonia is passionate about providing the lifelong support that women need as they proactively manage their health. Sonia also created and blogs at Hormone Soup, a website which specifically addresses women's hormone, reproductive, and sexual health. And it has developed into a TV show by the same name. She founded her blog as an effort to raise consciousness around hormone issues in women and to spark conversation around the use of bioidentical hormones to treat issues such as miscarriage, infertility, postpartum mood disorder, and PMS. So we're very excited to have Sonia today to share about how she advocates for herself and her health and how she encourages other women to do the same. I'll just let you know what self-advocacy means to me. It means making decisions about your own life. It means speaking up for yourself. It also means finding a support system, reaching out to others when you need help, and becoming self-determined, and not giving up or allowing anyone to force you into anything that you don't feel is in your best interest. So, and Sonia knows all about all of these. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you so much for having me, Sasha. I'm so happy to be here.
I told you what self-advocacy means to me. What does it mean to you?
I heard you describe self-advocacy, and, you know, it made me think that I don't think I'd ever really put it into those words, but that's exactly what it means to me as well. Those are all the types of things that I do and have learned to do over the course of many years, and that all women can do. And I think the thing you said about we all have choices to make, and you know, it's advocating for yourself involves making those decisions in our health care every step of the way. And so I think that's really important. And speaking up, which has been so hard for some women to do in health care, is really important. And then I think what ties into that is reaching out and getting support, because not everybody always feels comfortable speaking up or maybe get shut down by their physician or whatever. And so they may need support to start that advocacy process. But I have to say the really good news is about doing that is the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And so it's really taking that first step, I think, in speaking up for yourself. And it gets easier every time.
I agree. I think we view healthcare professionals as authority figures sometimes. However, we are the real authority figures over our own health. So I think doctors and other professionals are there to give us advice and help to guide us. However, we don't always have to agree with everything. And I know that you have a personal history with advocating for yourself. So let's go a little bit into your background. Tell us about your health issues that pushed you into advocating for yourself.
Sure. I was in my 20s, Sasha, and I was having infertility. And I grew up in a house where, you know, I wasn't really taught to advocate for myself. And so it didn't come naturally to me at all. And so I kept going back to my doctor and listening to what he would say. And even if it didn't sit well with me, I would leave and then kind of, oh, kick myself for not asking that question or not kind of pushing more for answers. And it wasn't until, you know, I was losing babies and having a miscarriage was devastating to me, and having a second loss like that was very devastating. And I finally one day reached out to a woman in my town who had started sort of an informal support group for women who had had early infant loss and miscarriage. And her name was Ava, and she gave me such a gift, the most incredible gift I've ever been given, because it's been a lifelong gift. And that was teaching me how to advocate for myself. And I didn't realize at the time how much power I really had in that doctor's office and in my own healthcare. And now that's going back when there wasn't that much information on the internet. We did have an internet back then, but that was 14 years ago, and I started doing the research as much as I could and talking to other women who had miscarriages and just really trying to figure out sort of some answers or some treatments or some possibilities. It didn't even, you know, have to be super specific. I wanted more information, and because I was having trouble getting anything else, and my doctor had wanted to just let me go and try and get pregnant a third time. And hadn't done any testing at all, and said if I lost a third baby, then we would look into my history and that kind of thing. And so there's this huge disconnect between the medical system and it's really a disease management system. And the way I was feeling, these were my babies I was losing. And so clearly I really felt like we needed to do something before I got pregnant the third time. And thanks to Ava, I found a treatment which I had heard about, progesterone, and I'd always felt like just my intuition, you know, told me that I had hormone issues. And every time I'd ask about it, I was really, I guess, kind of shut down, or I don't think that much was understood. So I wasn't really provided any answers. And so to me, the progesterone deficiency theory seemed really fitting for my personal health issues. And sure enough, I went to the doctor and I told him this is what I wanted, and I had heard about it. He even told me that day that it was a placebo effect, but I didn't back down. I thought, what's wrong with the placebo effect if I get it at the end, right? So that day was a pivotal moment in my life, and that was, I guess, 15 years ago now, and I have been advocating for myself ever since, because I walked out of the hospital, you know, less than a year later with a baby in my arms, and my daughter Sophie wouldn't be here today if I hadn't advocated for myself. I've gone on to have three children, all using progesterone, and progesterone has been an integral supplement in my life, because I don't seem to produce progesterone, which, you know, is my personal story, but and not necessarily everyone else's, but it's the point where I had to advocate to get that next step. And progesterone actually helped me with my PMS. It helped me with my postpartum mood disorder, but I was never given that as an answer. Every time throughout those 15 years, I had to be the one advocating, asking, insisting, educating, even educating my doctor. So that's why I feel so passionate about advocating for myself.
I definitely connect with you on that. I still have to advocate for myself it feels like every single time I go to a doctor or a hospital, this healthcare system is overwhelming. Sometimes it's, you know, the knowledge isn't there. Sometimes the compassion isn't there. And you're the one who has to live your life. So I feel like a lot of us, we're not receiving the appropriate care that we should. So I strongly believe in advocating for yourself. Ask questions. Get second opinions, third opinions if you must, from different types of healthcare providers. So I'm so glad that Ava came into your life and you were able to learn about a solution for your problem.
Thank you. I am so glad Ava came into my life as well. And can I just mention, you mentioned how doctors are so busy and overworked and our healthcare system is, you know, so taxed. And I think that's really important then in how you advocate for yourself. And so you don't want to go in there kind of wishy-washy, and you don't want to waste your doctor's time because he or she doesn't have that much to give you. So really go in and be prepared. You talk about being informed and educated. Educate yourself before you go in. Ask questions. I take a notepad, or I even use my smartphone and write my notes down on it, and I can actually kind of take notes when I leave. And when my doctor sees my list, that I have a piece of paper in my hand, it's like a visual notification to them that I came here with on a mission. And I'm not leaving until I have some of this accomplished. And so I think that's really important. And another thing to do, and the sooner you start it, the better, is ask for your medical record when you leave the appointment. Ask for a copy of your lab result. And if you have trouble doing that, take a file folder with you. Again, it's sort of a visual notification to the doctor and the receptionist who, you know, will very soon learn that every time you come in, you want a copy, and you've got your file folder in hand, and you label it your medical file, and it's really important. And it'll also remind you before you leave to, oh, yeah, I have this file folder in my hand for a reason. I want those lab results. My doctor's office now just hands them to me every time I leave the office. Mm-hmm. They just know that, you know, I ask for them, and they're quite proactive. And be proud of yourself for doing it, because tell your doctor, you've decided to take a proactive approach to your health. So your next health appointment, if you've never really done this before, just start out by saying, you know, I've really decided to take a proactive approach to my health. And start the appointment with that and let them know straight up. Don't be afraid to let them know. And most doctors, you know, should be really receptive to that. They want us to be part of the, you know, to participate in our health. And so, and if you have trouble, take someone with you to the appointment, somebody that you trust, either a really good friend or a family member, and maybe they can help give you the support that you need. And you can even hire professional advocates now as well. A lot of people don't know. Yeah, there's professional advocates out there who will help you every step of the way in your healthcare. Now, a lot of people use them, you know, maybe when there's a very serious illness, like something terminal or you know, cancer or a really serious disease, but you can hire a professional advocate. Chronic illness, to me, is something that is, you know, really a challenge sometimes to advocate for yourself, because you're chronically ill and sometimes you don't have the energy or the sort of mental capacity on that day to really stand your ground. And so you can hire a professional advocate and they can kind of consult with you and participate with you.
That's a really good idea. I, too, always have notes on my smartphone. Even if I've taken notes, you know, my husband may come with me or someone may come with me who will have a different, who will remember something that I might not have. That's probably important. And you mentioned about chronic illness. I always wonder, what is it like for people who have no medical knowledge, no medical background? You know, they wouldn't know to ask for a certain lab, you know, or they wouldn't know what certain things mean. Because I hear complaints all the time that the doctor spoke so quickly, he used all these terms that I don't understand. So a professional advocate is a really great idea if people are able to do that. However, if you don't understand what the doctor is saying, ask him to repeat, ask him to say it in terms that you understand, things like that you do to help yourself understand, to better understand what's going on, is a step that you're taking to advocate for yourself.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I've done that, actually. A doctor was talking about a test or something, and I asked him to repeat it so many times. He eventually wrote it down for me, Sasha, but then I couldn't read his writing. But I did eventually figure it out. But absolutely, those little steps you take are actually, you know, big in the long term, and sometimes it's just taking that first little step, and you'll feel really good about it when you do. I could promise you that. When I talk to other women, I've had women much older than me say to me, "You can ask for your medical records."
And yeah,
I was shocked, but it's true. Not everybody knows these little things that you can do to, it's really making a statement, isn't it?
It is.
It's saying,
absolutely.
I care about my health and I want my health records. And you know what else, Sasha? It's so interesting to me. You know, our financial lives, our financial situation, we do this kind of thing all the time and we don't even question it. We ask our banker, we ask an investment advisor, we you know, talk to other people, we make these decisions, we make informed choices about what to do with our money. But our health, it's like we hand it over to a doctor and then we step back and let them manage our health for us.
It is so funny that you said that, because earlier when you were speaking about asking for your medical records, I was thinking of it as an analogy to a business transaction. This is your receipt, you know, this is what, you know, your receipt for health, really.
Right.
It's a record of the transaction between myself and my healthcare provider. We certainly wouldn't leave a bank or make a big purchase without getting a record of that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting why we've come to think about our health in a different way.
In a more passive way, we really do have to push ourselves from the back burner. And that's exactly why a lot of us feel that way, that we're being, you know, pushed aside and looked over, because we ourselves are not prioritizing our healthcare in the same manner that we would our other interactions that we have with professionals. Yeah, so tell us about open source health.
You know, I after all these years of advocating for myself and Ava teaching me how to go about, you know, really informing myself and taking that step to advocate, and then really sort of I started developing a team of people around me and started to think about my health more in terms of a collaboration. I have a personal relationship with my pharmacist, for example, and could pick up a phone and call and ask questions and find them the pharmacist very useful person on my sort of healthcare team. And then naturopath I've consulted as well and started me on a great path to wellness. Functional nutritionist is great, because once you have sort of been diagnosed with something or even not, you know, that's where it ends. There's no sort of follow-up. And so somebody who is really trained in nutrition can, you know, help you take care of your body as well. And so I want to be around for a long time. So I've really learned to take a more proactive approach. And then, of course, my doctor, my gynecologist, and any other people that I see in my healthcare, you know, I kind of view it as a more collaborative process than just me going to my doctor and me taking away the answers that he or she has given me. And so I joined the Society for Participatory Medicine, and it's a society that was started and founded actually by doctors, and they really feel like I do that you get the best health care when you participate in your health. And these are doctors and patients and other people who, you know, also believe in participatory medicine. And so that really got me interested in this entire, you know, sort of revolution, I think, that's happening in healthcare and how we're really transforming healthcare. The internet is healthcare is the last industry to really be disrupted thanks to the internet, and it's happening now, and transformation is underway. And I didn't see much happening in terms of women's health. And you know, Sasha, how some things just sometimes fall into your lap, and all these people come to inspire you and influence you. And that's really what happened with open source health. I wasn't really seeking it out when all these great technology partners came my way, people who inspired me, other empowered patients who are really taking the the reins and trying to transform healthcare and make a difference in their lives and as well as others. And I thought, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a technology person. I can't code a website, but I'm a woman, and I know how to educate myself. I know how to advocate for myself, and I know how to collaborate on my healthcare. And I have all these tech people around me, and I have all this inspiration around me, and we founded Open Source Health because I really believe in openness, open data, openness to participating in your own healthcare, and so really started building a platform that women could actually access all the resources and tools that she needs to really take a proactive approach in her own health. And I really envision it being women-centric. Healthcare is not women-centric at all.
No, it's not.
It's quite paternalistic most of the time. And so my vision for women's health is much different than the healthcare system we have now. It's more women-centered. It's more integrative. And I have set out to building it, and so it'll be very exciting.
Yeah, please keep us informed. You know, I'm sure there are ways that PCOS Challenge can be involved in that because, you know, we have the same goal for women everywhere to have access to healthcare and be advocates for themselves, and these are tools that will help them to do so. So tell us what you want listeners to take away from this show about their health and advocating for themselves.
I think women need to feel that it's okay to do that. And sometimes it's as simple as being told that it's okay to do that, because the way you feel sometimes when you go into that doctor's appointment, you don't really always know what your role is. Think of the word patient, Sasha. It implies being patient. But there's been discussion in the circles that I travel in about that word and what it means. And, you know, don't be patient. Don't be patient. Be an advocate and feel good about doing that. Feel good about being proactive and taking that step. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be abrasive. You don't have to be somebody that you're not. You just have to, you know, ask and tell and be informed and let your doctor know you're informed. My doctor, the doctor that I have now, we actually wind up having what are more like conversations over my health. And, you know, it's taken me 15 years to get to this point and a different doctor. But you know what? We don't always agree on what we should do with my health. And sometimes I say, okay, I'll try it your way for, you know, 3 months, and then I'll come back. And sometimes he says, okay, let's do it your way, and then come back and let's revisit, you know, how you're feeling and all of that. And so, because healthcare isn't cut and dry. It's not black and white.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially with hormone health, and as you are aware with PCOS, man, there's not always an easy answer. And so sometimes you have to have some give and take. But I hope women, you know, there's so much information on the internet, so it's sometimes scary. It's sometimes too much. So find a great website like PCOS Challenge that has really good information about what you're, you know, trying to educate yourself about. And then go ahead and be prepared with those list of questions and don't be afraid and make sure they all get answered before you leave. And ask for your medical records when you leave. And remember that it gets easier the more you do it. Because every time you go and ask for those medical records or ask your questions, they'll soon come to know that you're not leaving until you get the medical records or you're not leaving until you get your questions answered.
Yes, and you know what they're doing now? I don't know if they do this in Canada, but hospitals and some doctors' offices, they make you pay to get your medical record, which I don't agree with at all. However, you know, if that's what you have to do, if I have to pay $5 to get my health record, so be it. But I'm not a fan of that that role either.
No, and you know, one of the people that inspired me to, you know, form Open Source Health was Regina Holiday, and she's a woman who famously painted 73 cents when her husband was passing away from cancer. She wanted his health records and didn't have access to the notes as he was in the hospital. And afterward, she was told it would be a month to get his records and it would cost 73 cents per page. And she was, you know, quite upset over it. When she finally got his health records, she noticed things in there that maybe had been ordered but hadn't been followed through on. And yeah, had she had access to them during the course of her husband's treatment, maybe he could have been, you know, more comfortable, or maybe things would have been followed through on that wouldn't have been. And should she have had to pay for 73 cents per page, imagine how many pages there were.
Yeah.
And so Regina speaks out, and she started an amazing movement called The Walking Gallery, where she paints. She's a painter, and she paints jackets. And when we go to health conferences, you'll see people walking around with a jacket with a painting on the back, and it's their personal health story and their participatory medicine story. And Regina is a huge inspiration. She's a woman, a patient, a mother, and she's making a difference in healthcare for people because she's really speaking out about that very issue that you mentioned, Sasha. And so hopefully there will be a change because, you know, we really do, those are our records. And so it's kind of, you know, who owns the data?
It's your blood test.
Shouldn't we get a copy of it? So
this is definitely something that should be changed.
And, you know, I think with the Internet and the sharing that can happen easier online, I really hope that digital health is going to help force that change. I really do.
Agreed. Well, Sonia, thank you so much. As always, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. Thank you so much for creating sources for women to learn more about their health, such as Hormone Soup and Open Source Health. I cannot wait to see the platform when it opens to the public. And best wishes, best luck in everything that you do.
Thank you so much, Sasha, and good luck to you as well.
Yes.
I know that you're bringing so much awareness to such an important health topic for women. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Ati. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.